for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Spring Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, April the 19th, 2014. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on the law of sowing and reaping.
Amen. Well, Jerry McGee, would you please come? You've got the rest of the evening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, we just come before your throne. And Lord, you truly are an awesome God. Lord, we just humble ourselves before you. Lord, we choose to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you. Father, we ask for the resurrected life of your life to come through us, Lord. We ask that you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that can understand. Father, we ask you to cover us, cover our concerns, cover our homes, our businesses, our jobs, cover our children, everything that concerns us, this camp with the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your warring angels, or not your angels, ministering spirits sent to help and care for those who receive your salvation. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask you to loose your ministering angels into this place. And, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that we've been seated with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, and we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth we forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us at this meeting. I bind any spirits that would twist the word of God. I bind every spirit, every perverse spirit, every crooked spirit, every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. You'll not work in this place in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to download me with the word from heaven, with a life-changing word, in Jesus' name. Well, tonight I feel the Lord wants me to share on resetting life's negative reaping patterns, why life does not go well. You know, God has laws of the universe that govern the universe. He has the law of gravity. When you throw something up, it's going to come down. There's the law of physics. There's the law of aerodynamics. When a plane is trying to take off, and those of you who have flown know that when that plane's trying to take off, the law of gravity is pulling it down, and it sounds like every screw is going to fly out of that plane. And then when it gets to another level, the law of aerodynamics takes it over and pulls it upward. And then there's the law of dynamics that if you know the distance to a wall, your throwing power, the size and weight of the ball, you can determine with what momentum, if you throw that ball against the wall, it'll come back. And there's the law of sowing and reaping. You are reaping what you sown, all of us. We're reaping things that the forefathers have sown that have not been taken to the cross, that have not been put under the blood of Jesus through our repentance. As Carlos said last night, this morning, about Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of his grandfather, Abraham. So that was a good thing, so what's that to say about bad things? So when we break curses, is we're standing up in our bloodline, and we're recognizing what's coming down, and we're asking God to cleanse our bloodline, and we're putting it under the blood of Jesus and saying this goes no farther. This also affects our family members. And we're not asking to forgive granddaddy or grandmother or our forefathers. It's a done deal. They're either in heaven or hell right now. It's too late to forgive them. But what you're doing is you're taking accountability for what they did. You're saying someone is standing up and taking accountability for what they did and putting that under the blood of Jesus. And so thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin, that we don't have to live in bondage. We don't have to be senile. We don't have to be decrepit. God says he wants us to go from glory to glory and strength. You know, I plan to be freer tomorrow than I am today. And deliverance is an ongoing thing. I thank the Lord that He taught me that I can deliver myself. Give yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. But there's a law of sowing and reaping, that everything you sow, what's been sown in your life, what your forefathers have sown, what you have sown, through things you've done, things that have been done to you, things that your forefathers did that you did not take to the cross, you're going to reap it. You're still reaping. We're all reaping a crop of something. You can be reaping good things, and you can reap bad things. And so it's a process of getting all of that sorted out and getting, like Patty said, we're a work in progress. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that He taught me about deliverance. I just praise the Lord. I don't know everything, but I know some things. And what I know. And what I don't know, I don't mind telling you. And what I know, I don't mind sticking with it. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. And so in Malachi 4:5-6 says, I'm going to send Elijah and he will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Before the great and coming day of the Lord, the children's hearts are going to have to be restored to the fathers and the fathers to the children. And that's a work of God's grace. And the way restoration comes is through forgiveness. You're not going to get delivered if you're holding unforgiveness toward anyone. Because Jesus said if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. If you don't take accountability for your own sin. You know, the Bible says no adulterer, no fornicator, no thief, no liar, no adulterer, no reviler, no slanderer will enter the kingdom of heaven, period, unless they repent. There has to be repentance in everything we do. And we've all been guilty of some of those things, but we better stop it because we're living in days that you better get your heart right with God, because that's the only thing that's going to keep you from being killed in the days ahead, is walking uprightly, walking the highway of holiness where no lion, no fool, no unclean can walk there. And so if you're unclean or you're a fool, you won't be on the highway of holiness. And that's the only safe place. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. And I'm glad these children are getting to hear this message, because honoring your mother and father, if you don't honor them, you'll either be like them or you'll marry someone like them. Because what you judge, you'll become like who you judge. Honor your father and mother and as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. So it's going to go well on the land if we honor our mother and father. And I'm so thankful that Merle chooses to honor his mother and father. And I agree. I'm sure Glenn and Irma both are, if it's possible, dancing in heaven and saying, that's my son, and I'm well pleased. And I thank the Lord for this place. I love Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Praise the Lord. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So it promises that life will go well in every area that you honor your mother and father. And so you could stop right there and say, well, where is my life not going well? You can trace it back to not honoring your mother and father. And that your days will be long on the earth. It promises you a long life. You know, I think about my dad. My dad was the middle of 9 sons. And he always wanted his mom and dad's approval. I think we all do. I remember my dad, he furnished a place for his mom and dad to live. He paid many of their bills. He gave them a home. They didn't live with us. He gave them a house to live in. And I'm thinking, my daddy honored, as much as he knew how, honored his mother and father, because he really taught us how to treat him. Because my sister and I, we honored him the same way he honored his mother and father. How you treat your parents, you're teaching your children how to treat you. Because they learn by your example. The sins of the fathers pass on to the children to the third and fourth generation, 15 or 30 generations. And so this simple and fundamental key to all of life can be found right here in this scripture. Life will go well with those who honor their mother and father, and those who do not honor them, life will not go well. I've had people go ballistic when I say that. How can I honor that man that molested me? How can I honor that perverted daddy? How can I honor them? You honor their position. You don't have to like them. You don't have to pattern your life after them. But you do have to treat them like you would want to be treated if you were them. You have to honor the position. And honor means that you forgive them by sundown. It doesn't mean you have to support their drug habit. It doesn't mean you have to move them in the house with you. It doesn't mean that you have to like them. But you have to forgive. It means to forgive them by sundown for their poor stewardship of you. Many people say, oh, I've already done all that. I forgive my mom and dad. Well, generally, most of you have. But in deliverance, it has to be a specific instance that you say, I forgive them for abandoning me. I forgive them for being a couch potato. I forgive them that I could not trust them. You see, if you couldn't trust your mother and father, you have a hard time trusting authority. And you have a hard time trusting God. It's an unconscious thing. But if you couldn't trust your parents, you have a tendency to want to take matters into your own hands. However you judge your mother and father, the lie is that God is the same way. If your mother and father were liars, the lie is God's a liar. Unconsciously, you know His Word says that He does not lie. He's not a man that He could lie. You know His Word says that. But in your heart, you're thinking, oh yeah, maybe there's a little doubt. Or in some way, that's working out in distrust. If your mother and daddy were not there, the lie is, no use going to God, He's not there. It's unconscious. It's always a vacancy. You see, the judgment you make puts a block between you and God. God wants to pour out to you, but every judgment that you make on your mother and father puts a block between you and God until that thing is dealt with and taken to the cross. And there has to be individual things. And God doesn't show you everything at once. He'll show you things little by little. Problem comes up. God, what are you trying to teach me through this? And you can trace it back most of the time through something you did or dishonoring your mother and father. You know, my dad, I remember when my dad was 92. I said, Dad, would you please forgive me for not honoring you? And he said, Jerry, he said, I can never think of a time in your life that you have not honored me. That's what he told me. Well, I like that. But you know what? In my heart, I didn't honor him. I judged them up one side and down the other. And those judgments set me up. It set me up to reap people treating me the same way, or my children treating me the same way, or even not honoring your grandparents or your mother-in-law or your father-in-laws. Let me tell you something. It reaps back. Whatever you do, the law of sowing and reaping means you'll reap it back. But praise God, it can be changed. Praise God that those defaults can be broken. Praise the Lord for deliverance. Praise the Lord that God says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Praise the Lord. His grace makes it possible. And so we honor the position. And this verse is sufficient to explain moral problems, immoral problems, marriage problems, child-raising problems. In every area, we consciously or unconsciously, see, I unconsciously, or I didn't outwardly dishonor my mother and father, but inwardly I did. I always thought I was a little bit smarter. I always thought that I could do things a little bit better, and I've seen that they did a pretty better job than I did in a whole lot of areas. And I really had a good mom and dad. In fact, until growing up, I thought, you know, I didn't think I had a problem with my parents because I grew up, you know, my mom and dad didn't fight. I had a happy home. I never got loved a day in my life other than that fat thing. And my daddy was unmerciful. He was merciless when it came to fat. I asked him what, well, I'm not going to say that. Well, I will say that. When he was in the nursing home, I said, Dad, are those little ladies putting moves on you? He said, oh, Jerry. He said, they're all overweight and all they do is eat. And he wasn't out. You know, a lot of times old men, they run around looking for other women. My daddy wasn't like that. He was faithful to my mother to the day he died. And he was single from the year 2000 till 2007. Anyway, he hated fat, and boy, I'm telling you, did he ever let me have it. And so he made me feel so self-conscious of always criticizing me because of my weight. But I thank God he was a good daddy. And so to honor means I forgive. And you know, anger, a lot of our anger is rooted in unresolved childhood issues. Because God says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So they either bring us up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, or they provoke us to anger in every area they violate the Word of God. Well, there's no perfect parent. There's parents, no matter how good they are, they're going to violate the Word of God in areas. And so the more they violate the Word of God, the more issues I have. And God doesn't let them all surface at one time, but He will allow circumstances to come up in our lives to help us, if we're wise enough, to ask Him what He's trying to teach us, to take us back and get those areas cleaned up and those areas taken to the cross. And so these are the things, how you're trained up sets a default. It's like train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And so these are the things that we have to overcome in our present life. You know, God wants his children to rest. And so we have a land to possess. And they had a physical land back, the children of Israel, because Canaan meant rest. And we have a spiritual land to possess. And so God says, work out your salvation. This is our land. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, you're building your house and your field. So we have, there's giants in our land. There's things in our life that's not pleasing to God. There's things in our life that keep us depressed. There's things in our life that we just feel like a failure in. But God wants to bring us into rest. And so every time you conquer a giant in your life, you rest in that particular area. And the giants we have to conquer are the giants that we didn't conquer in childhood. You know, how you're trained up sets your wilderness experience. What's going on here is a rerun of what went down here that you let the sun go down on. It tells us not to let the sun go down on our anger. And so our unresolved issues are the things we fight about in our circumstances. They're the things we fight about in our marriage. They're the things we argue about. They're the things we push our button. Because if fathers provoke not your children to anger, in the areas that they violate the Word of God, we let the sun go down on our anger and we give a foothold to the devil. And the way we cope is we turn to promises we make ourselves. When I grow up, I'm not going to, like, one thing I made, my mother worked my whole life. She had cancer and missed 2 weeks of work. And I never saw her take a nap in my whole life. And so, I don't know why I'm going to say that. I don't know what I was going to say. Lord, bring that back. Oh, I always wanted my mother to stay home and be a father knows best kind of mother. But she worked. She was a businesswoman. She worked. She never neglected me, but she worked 24/7. And so I made a promise, disgusted with them working all the time. I made a promise, when I grow up, I'm not going to be like her. I'm going to be a homemaker. When I grow up, I'm not going to leave my children. Or when I grow up, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. You see, those vows are false gods you turn to. Because if I'd have done it the right way, I said, Lord, would you help my mother not to have to work? Lord, I forgive my mother, but I let the sun go down on it. My heart went toward an idol that when I grow up, life is going to be different. And that idol set me up in the law of sowing and reaping. It sets us up. And so in Deuteronomy, so when we let the sun go down in our anger, we give a foothold to the devil. We turn, because in our disillusionment or in our hurt or in our pain or in our frustration, you know, another thing, my mother and father, they would, and I had great parents. I'm not trying to dishonor them, but I'm trying to share with you. But another promise I made is that they had businesses. And so they'd sit around the dinner table and they would talk about the people that had cheated them or something, or about an employee that didn't do his job. And I think, I'm just not going to live in problem situations. I mean, always a problem. It wasn't our problem in our home, but it was always some problem. And because of that, I made a vow, I'm not going to live like that. I want to live in peace. And I would say, well, why do you pay somebody to do the parking lot when they, like I remember one time they paid a man $10,000 to do his pave a parking lot, and the man went off with the money. So here I'm saying, well, why don't you make it pay them after they finish the job? But anyway, I made lots of vows like that of how I thought life should, well, those were idols. So what? One day I had a farm. And everything I was going through, I was living with the same people I grew up in, the same problem situations. And see, the Lord, through me asking the Lord, what are you trying to show me through this? He gave me an answer, and I repented, so that's over. And I live in peace. Hallelujah. And so in Deuteronomy 32, anger is linked to idolatry. In fact, all sin is idolatry. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. And so, but in Deuteronomy 32, because the children of Israel worship false gods, God turned them over to anger, and you can read that for yourself. Deuteronomy 32, the whole chapter, God turned them over because they worshiped idols. Revelation 9:20 says, if you worship idols, you worship demons. And you know, our big idols are, you've got to love me, life's got to go peaceful, you can't reject me, you've got to value me, you've got to be on time. Anything that makes you mad, I'm telling you, it's attached to an idol. You know you have an idol when you get angry when you don't get it. You know you have an idol when you have fear. An idol is either, if you have it, you fear you'll lose it, and if you don't have it, you fear you won't get it. So you know there's an idol behind that. But in Deuteronomy 32 says, because you worship idols, you worship demons, I'm going to turn you over to anger and jealousy, and you can just see the progression of it. Calamity, plagues, fear, terror, creeping things of the dust, which are demons. And so, just some scriptures on anger. Genesis 4:6, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? He said that the enemy is crouching right at your door if you don't repent. Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirs strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions. Ecclesiastes 7:9, do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. Job 5:2, for vexation slays the foolish man, and anger kills the simple. You know that anger and rage is behind heart attacks and aneurysms? Job 36:13, but the godless in heart lay up anger. They do not cry for help when he binds them. Are you getting the message that you can't live in angry person? You don't allow that. Find out how you got there and repent. Lay down the idol. And the way I lay down my idols, and I've shared this before, is God told Abraham to offer up his son as a sacrifice. So I say, Lord, if it glorify you the most for this to be this way or not be this way, whatever would bring you the greatest glory and honor, so be it. And so, you just, so be it. But devil, you can't do it in Jesus' name. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger pacifies contention. Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who is rules his spirit than he who captures a city. Proverbs 19:11, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it's his glory to overlook a transgression. Proverbs 19:19, a man's anger, a man of great anger shall bear the penalty, for if you rescue him, you'll only have to do it again. In other words, if you bail out an angry person, he tells you to jump this high, the next time you have to jump this high. You bail him out, you do it again and again. Proverbs 19:19 says an angry man must bear the penalty, and the penalty is demonization. Proverbs 22:24, do not associate with a man given to anger or go with a hot-tempered man lest you become like him. Why do you become like him? Because to associate with him, you have to pacify him, and you have to compromise. Proverbs 29:8, scorners set a city aflame, but wise men turn away anger. Proverbs 30:33, for the churning of milk and the producing of butter and the pressing of nose brings forth blood, so the churning of anger produces strife. Ecclesiastes 5:17, talking about a fool, says throughout his life he also eats in darkness with great vexation, sickness, and anger. Ephesians 4:26, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. You know, have you ever had anyone say, well, are you mad? No. Well, you kind of look funny. Are you upset? No. You sure you're not mad? No, I'm not angry. That word doesn't mean to deny you're angry. It means to, yes, admit you're angry, but don't let the sun go down on it. It means don't let it turn into sin. It's okay to say, yes, I'm angry. I have a reason to be angry, but I'm going to forgive you by sundown. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Ecclesiastes 11:10, so remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. King James says sorrow, which means hurt, provocation, anger, grief. It also means idolatry. And it's idolatry because you didn't deal with the issues God's way. James 1:19 says, this you know, my beloved brethren, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God, because the righteousness of God is to love God with your whole heart and your neighbor as yourself. And so in Matthew 5 it says, that when we're angry, make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you're with him on the way, in order that he doesn't turn you over to the judge, the officer, and you be thrown in prison. And it's a spiritual prison. Every place you're angry, you're in a spiritual prison. And then Matthew 18, Jesus gives the parable that if we don't forgive, that we won't be forgiven. But he also gives this parable of a man who was forgiven for about $1 million. And he met a man who owed him about $18, and he said, pay up. And the man said, you know, I don't have the money to pay. So he choked him and threw him and his family. I just recently saw that. But the family of the man was thrown in prison too. That was a revelation to me. I've read that scripture hundreds of times, and I never saw that that when we were angry at someone and you wouldn't forgive, you throw your whole family in prison. And then it would be like you hear what God's doing, what I did, if I didn't forgive D, and y'all hear about that, after I've been forgiven $1 million and she owes me $18, and I say, D, pay up, and she says, I don't have it, so I throw her and her kids in prison, and her whole family. Well, it'd be like the Lord heard what happened. Y'all come and tell the Lord what happened, and the Lord says, you wicked slave, I'm going to turn you over to the tormentors because you wouldn't forgive. And the tormentors means demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. And I believe that unforgiveness is behind, and bitterness and anger is behind all sickness. And so we're to reverence our parents with the same kind of fear that we have for God. Not because they deserve it, but because of their position. Leviticus 19:3. Every one of you shall reverence, fear his mother and father, and shall keep my Sabbaths. It says, every one of you shall reverence, or which means fear, his mother and father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. And so, here are some sins that are worthy of death. When we fail to honor our parents, it opens us up to a spirit of death. Matthew 15:4. He who speaks evil of his parents. It says, for God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of his father or mother, let him be put to death. Striking his parents. Exodus 21:15. And he who strikes his father or mother shall be surely be put to death. Now, parents, don't let your kids hit you, because you're letting them be put under a curse when you do that. And they'll do whatever you let them do. Teach them right off the bat that that's a wrong choice, because there's consequences. Striking your parents. Cursing your parents. Exodus 21:17. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely put to death. And I don't think that necessarily means profanity. I think it means speaking evil of your parents. And we've all done that. Besides the word of God being revoked in our life and our life being shortened, we'll be considered shameful and disgraceful sons and daughters. Proverbs 19:26. He who assaults his mother and father, or drives his mother away, is a shameful and disgraceful son or daughter. You'll be considered the companion of the destroyer. Proverbs 28:24. He who robs his father or his mother and says it is not a transgression is the companion of a man who destroys. And then the powers of darkness bring blindness. Proverbs 30:11. There's a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. Proverbs 30:17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. And what that means is, you know, when you have a wounded spirit, you get your button pushed. It's like you lose your perspective. You know what I'm talking about? And you think, dear Lord, what's that all about? When you go through things, it's like you're blind to see why you're going through it. And then later, you look back on it, and the Lord shows you. But in the midst of it, we need to ask the Lord what he's trying to teach us. And so, the eye that mocks the father and scorns the mother, the ravens of the valley will pluck it out. And then your lamp or your eyes will go out in time of darkness. Proverbs 20:20. He who curses his father and mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. And I believe that's one of the major roots to eye problems. And then Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the purer your heart is, the less you have defiled it with judgments you make on your parents, the greater perspective you have of God the Father. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so if there's defilements in our hearts, our perception of God will be blurred, and our relationship with him will be blurred, and it will be blocked in the areas that we make the judgments. In the areas we've judged our parents, our authority figures, or those who raised us, our relationship with the Lord will be crippled. Because parents model for us a picture of what God's like, and if we had good role models, or if we had perverted image of God. Praise God, he's nothing like our mother and father. He's perfection. He's perfect. Matthew 7:1-5 says, do not judge lest you be judged, for in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye?
Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye, behold, the log is in your eye, and it says, take it out, and you can see clearly. And the Lord showed me one time at a seminar, a girl came up to me, and she said, I've got something in my eye. This was years ago. And I said, have you ever judged anyone? She went, my mother-in-law. And I said, well, who does she remind you of? He went, my mother. And so I led her in repentance. And she went, it's gone. It's gone. Well, I knew that. I remembered that. You know, I've had, I'm working on getting my eyes healed, but I don't have floaters. And the reason I don't have them is one day I was teaching here at the camp, and a little speck went right, like a little floater, went across my eye. And the Lord said, take the log out of your eye, then you can see clearly. And I thought, well, the Lord wouldn't tell me to take it out if I couldn't get rid of it. So I said, okay, Lord, who is that? And the Lord told me who it was. And I repented, broke soul ties, and I took it out. And so from then on, it's been a process. If I get one comes across my eye, I say, okay, Lord, who is that? What is that? And I repent and take it out. And so that's one of the roots to floaters in the eyes. So by your standard of measure, it's measured back to you. And when we make a judgment on our parent, we set in motion forces that cause us to reap to ourselves the very same thing we judged. And the judgments we make, and we let the sun go down, become bitter roots down in our heart. Become a bitter root. Opens us up to bitterness. And you can have more than one spirit of bitterness. But a bitter root judgment is not, it's what it is, it's my own sin. It's my wrong reactions to hurt. You know, sometimes things happen to us in life that's not our fault. But the way we respond to hurt is our fault if we respond in a negative way. And so that's what we have to repent of when it comes to repenting of judging your mother and father. You have to repent of your wrong reactions to the hurt. By letting the sun go down in your anger, that's a wrong reaction, because it gives a foothold to the devil. I wish that when I was growing up, I knew that if I let the sun go down on my anger, that it would give a foothold to the devil. I never heard that preached in any church that I was ever in, but I got saved reading the Bible, and I read that scripture, and because I read that scripture, I was afraid to go to bed angry. One time my husband and I got in a fuss, a disagreement. I know some of y'all might have those. Iron sharpens iron. Anyway, we had a disagreement, and it was his fault. And so I was wanting to go to bed, but I didn't dare go to bed angry. So I said, Lord, why is it that I always have to be the one that says I'm sorry? We were married 27 years, and I bet he didn't say sorry 10 times in 27 years. I said, why do I always have to be the one to apologize? And the Lord said, well, you're right. It is his fault this time, but you've got a pride problem. It's good for you to have to go humble yourself. So I went down and asked him to forgive me. And then he said, I'm not going to forgive you. You just keep doing the same old thing. And then I got mad all over again. Then one day the Lord said, you say you're sorry, you get it right, and the ball's in his court. If he has a fit, foams at the mouth and falls in it. That's my problem, his problem, not yours. You do what's right. And so a bitter root judgment is your sinful reaction to hurt. It's your condemning judgments of you make of your parents and people. It's your refusal or your inability to forgive. If you vow, I'll never forgive, guess what? That locks you into unforgiveness. So break those vows. Or I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget. See, those vows is idolatry. Bitter root judgments are operations of the unchangeable laws of God that causes you to reap what you sow. And with the judgment comes an expectation. For example, if you grow up with a controlling mother, and say you're a man and you have a controlling mother, your expectation is that all women are controlling. And if you grow up with a daddy that lies and you get married. Your expectation is all men are liars, and that an expectation is a psychological response in your nature that pulls that person to do that bad thing that fulfills your picture of how life goes. It's either real or it's perceived. When two people get married, they draw together people that are best able to fit their reaping process. You know, I'm not married and I'm not looking for a husband and I plan to stay single the rest of my life. But I haven't had a date in all these years I've been a widow, have had no interest in it. But if I did date somebody and they told me how they grew up and what they had done, I could tell you exactly what I'd have to put up with. I'm serious. And plus, not counting my stuff. So, you know, you grow up, you marry somebody that grew up in a dysfunctional family, a disagreement comes up, and all of a sudden you're doing that bad thing that the daddy did to them. Or you're not protecting them like daddy didn't protect them. Or you're a whoremonger like daddy was. You see, those judgments, those expectations pull people to do that bad thing, because I'm judging them. When you judge somebody, you put them in a prison. Who's ever sinned, you retain or retain. Who's ever sinned, you remit or remitted. And so, a bitter expectation, you expect life to go that way. It's the root of a fainting spirit. You know, there's a throne of grace that you could go to, and at the throne of grace, you get strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected. But if you come short of the grace of God, you receive a root of bitterness, plus you have a fainting spirit. And if you go through a trial and you have a perverted image of God, well, the lie is, I can't go to God, it's like daddy, or daddy's not there, or daddy don't want to talk to me. See, that's the main root to prayerlessness right there, is growing up to not have a daddy or mother that communicates with you, a daddy especially. And so, well, daddy don't want to talk to me, so no use going to God. And so if I don't go to God with my problem, I take a nosedive. You've got to go to God when you go through things, because Hebrews 12 says that when you go through God's discipline, don't faint, don't lose heart. God disciplines every son whom he loves. And that was a wonderful message that you taught Count Carla, but I want to add one thing to the discipline. If you don't let God discipline you and correct those mistakes and conform you into his image, he says you are a spiritual bastard. And many people in the church, they think because they're safer, and we thank God for his grace or we'd all be dead. But this easy, greasy grace, they don't think they have to deal with their issues, and they're messes. People are messes. Most people my age or even younger, 50, 40, 30-year-old people are on so many drugs they don't know what town they're in, because they're not taught to deal with unresolved issues. Deal with your unresolved issues and you can live in divine health. Because if there's bitterness down there, eventually it's going to work out in the physical body. I tell people, you know, you need to look for the root. Well, they say, well, I've repented of everything I can think of. Well, yeah, we have. But listen, there's lots you don't even see. That's way down there. Childhood things, the times all the issues, the hurts of your childhood that you let the sun go down on. Somebody hurts you, you're angry. The next day it's unforgiveness, and the next day it's bitterness. And bitterness will kill you. And I believe that it's behind sickness. Is all the issues that you have. So many times you can talk to these people and say, well, I've already forgiven Dad and Mom for everything. No, you haven't. I had great parents, and I'm telling you, I'm still forgiving them, and it's mainly forgiving, asking God to forgive me for my wrong attitudes toward them and my pride. And so, if you don't go to the throne of grace, you faint. And so you're opened up to bitterness, and how you respond to life circumstances will determine if you get bitter or better. The reason God lets you go through things is to conform you into the image of Christ. Nikki shared that in his first message. The scripture says, what? Yes, yes, yes. It says, everything works together for good to those who love the Lord, to the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. Now, it's not going to work together for your good if you don't let it conform you into the image of Christ. If you don't let it conform you into the image of Christ, you get conformed to the image of the beast, the one who hurts you, because you become like who you judge. Bitterness can be defined in the Webster's Dictionary as a dangerous error, or schism, a breach of charity, love, tending to draw people to apostasy, abandonment of what one has professed, a total desertion or departure from one's faith or religion. Bitterness also means extreme enmity, ill will, hatred, grudge, hatred, or rather an excessive degree of implacableness, which means irreconcilable enmity or anger of passions and emotions, sharpness, severity of temper, biting sarcasm, or extreme wickedness. In the Hebrew, bitterness means discouragement, a feeling of hopelessness. I can get out of this situation. This is the root meaning of the word bitter. It is not just a bitter taste in your mouth, which is also one of the roots of acid reflux. You can get stirred up in your emotions, and I'm telling you, you can have acid reflux within an hour just because you're all upset. The feeling of despair and despondency is also the feeling of grief, which opens up a doorway for bitterness. It also means miscarriage or to abort, and bitterness means terminal death. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor be put away from you. And so in your trial, you'll either be conformed into the image of Christ or you'll be conformed into the image of the one who hurts you. 1 Corinthians 8 talks about eating food, defiling somebody with food. Well, in that scripture where it says that go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me read that. 1 Corinthians 8. It says, But food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do, nor better if we eat. But take care lest this liberty of yours somehow becomes a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone sees you who have knowledge dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined, the brother for whose sake Christ died. And this by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I'll never eat meat again, and that it might not cause my brother to stumble. Well, that means if I'm wounding somebody's conscience, it means that to pattern after, to instill a pattern. It's like I put an imprint on them. And that's why it's important to break soul ties, to forgive and break soul ties. You can't break soul ties without forgiving. In fact, you cannot get delivered without forgiving and without seeking forgiveness for what you've done. God says, if you confess your sin, I am faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And so we either get the pattern of someone else that's hurt us, or we let that work and conform us into the image of Christ. And so it's important to break soul ties. And so what God allows in your life is for your transformation. All the problems. I'm so thankful that God taught me that He uses the problems to change me. Amen. Everything you go through, He wants to change you from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And so the purpose of our trials is to conform us to the image of Christ so that we can learn to operate in every situation out of His Holy Spirit. You see, if any place you're wounded, you're going to operate out of the flesh. You're going to get your button pushed. Every time you turn to an idol instead of turning to God, you've opened yourself up to a wound. You turn to God in your pain, and you're not wounded anymore. It doesn't matter anymore. And so the Holy Spirit will allow conflict to come until you bring it to God's throne of grace and deal with it God's way. Deuteronomy 28 tells us why God sent the children of Israel into the wilderness. It was to humble them, to prove them, so that they'd know what was in their heart. He already knew what was in their heart. And so that to know if they would keep His commandments. And so as we deal with our childhood issues, we get more holified, if that makes sense. Every time you deal with an issue, darkness comes out and light comes in. Right? Because it's the truth that sets you free. And so the consequences of bitterness is physical and chemical imbalance, lower resistance. You know, Bill Gothard teaches, in fact, this came out of Bill Gothard's seminar. Bill Gothard teaches that if you've got bitterness, if you don't have bitterness in your life, germs won't work in you. But if you have bitterness, it draws sickness to you and germs to you. You have a lower resistance, and bitterness causes aching teeth. Anger or bitterness causes muscles to tighten up in the jaws. Pressure goes into the nerves to cause aching teeth. Most illnesses today are a result of bitterness and guilt. Germs will not have any effect on you if there's no bitterness or guilt. Bitterness causes harsh facial features, premature wrinkles, frown lines. Your face is set in a uplifted or a downlifted or a frown. You know, if you're a person that frowns all the time, guess which way those wrinkles are going to go? Bone diseases. Bitterness goes directly to the bones, and the blood is made in the bone marrow. Psychological problems, torment, sadness, depression, which uses up emotional energy. Barrenness, fruitlessness, the curse of the law of jealousy. You know, in Numbers 5, if a man thought his wife was committing adultery, he would take her to the priest and he'd mix up dirt from the temple floor and make her put water in it and make a water of bitterness and make her drink it. And if she was guilty, her stomach would swell and her thigh would waste away. And if she was innocent, she was immune to the curse. But if she was guilty, that was one of the causes of barrenness. Now, you can have... You can have a spirit of barrenness on you and still have children, but you're spiritually barren and fruitless. Indigestion, spiritual identification, you become like the one you're bitter toward. Depraved mind, how to overcome bitterness is through forgiving. Just forgive. If you try to forgive and it won't go away, you know, Jesus said that when you forgive, that you forgive from the heart. When you try to forgive and it comes back, you say, I say the words, I forgive, and then tomorrow I'm still arguing with them in my head. Or maybe 2 weeks from now I say, I forgive them, and 2 weeks later I'm still arguing with them in my head. And then maybe a month later I'm still arguing with them in my head. It's a childhood issue. One day I was with a... And I've shared this, but a lot of you haven't heard this. But I had lunch with somebody, and we had a disagreement. And she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry. And the next day, I was still arguing with her in my head. I was thinking, I can't believe she's so rude. I can't believe she's so negative. I can't believe she's so critical. And I said, Lord, she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry. Why can't I get over this? And the Lord said, she's reminding of your mother. So I said, well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. He said, well, forgive your mother for everything you don't like about her. So I said, Lord, I forgive her, I forgive her, I forgive her. And there wasn't even an issue anymore. And you see, God lets people mirror what He wants to change in you. Either you've done it, or you've judged your parents for doing it, or your parents did the same thing to you, and it's an unresolved issue. So welcome these problems, welcome these mirrors, and deal with it, and God will change you from glory to glory to glory to glory, and we can walk that highway of holiness with Him. And so, forgive through repentance. look at the fruit in your life. You know, if you plant corn, what kind of, I mean, if you see corn growing, what kind of seed is it? Corn, right? If you see perversity or perversion, sexual perversion for manifesting in your life, go back and find the seeds that were planted back there. Was it because you looked at your daddy's first pornography? Was your forefathers whoremongers? Have you been into sexual sin since you were little? You see what I'm saying? You've got to go back. The doorway is the first time it happened. It probably always comes down generationally, but the things you've done, take accountability for it. Close those doors. Don't allow anger in your life. Don't allow depression. Because if you give it to God and take it up the mountain and say, Lord, if that'll bring you glory, glory, and honor for everybody to treat me like that, for this to happen, not to happen, I only ask you one thing, glorify yourself, I let it go, I give up my life, and it doesn't even matter anymore. You know, we think it's all about you, Jesus, but it's really all about us, and we've got to take it up the mountain, let it go, give up your life. And it's a process of letting go, letting go, letting go, letting go. Does it ever stop? No. But I'm telling you, the joy and peace that comes to live without anger, to live without fear, to live without depression, to live without hurt, it's glorious. And if some crops up that in my life, it crops up, I find out how I got there, and I get rid of it. And then if it don't want to go away, I take it up the mountain. And just give it to God. You know, most of us are living for God's glory, right? Or we want to live for God's glory. The scripture says this is the confidence you can have toward Him, that if you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And if He hears you, you already have what you asked for. So if I say, Lord, I ask you one thing. I live for your glory. Be glorified in this situation. But devil, you can't touch me in Jesus' name. God's going to answer that prayer for His glory, and I can rest in it. I can be happy with it, knowing that God's going to be glorified because He's going to answer that prayer. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. So let it go. Now, there's another situation. If there's not fear, there's not hurt, there's not anger, God says, make your request be known to God. If you ask anything, He said, in my name, I'll do it. So ask Him for it, and He'll do it. But if it's an issue, a button pusher, something that concerns you, that hurts you, that's raining on your parade, it's an idol. Take it up the mountain and let it go. Amen? Okay, I hope all that made sense. Stand up, please. My husband used to say, you need to say please. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to show me every negative thing of my parents. Lord, the things that bother me about my children, the things that bother me about my daughter-in-laws, my sons-in-laws, my children, the things that bother me in life, the things that hurt me, the things that push my button, the areas where I've been bitter, Lord, angry, hurt, wounded, full of pain. God says remove the vexation, the grief, the anger, the hurt from your heart, and you can put pain out of your body. So, Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. And while you're praying, I'm going to say negative reaping patterns can be broken from negative to positive. Even you children, I want you to, when you stand up, I want you to forgive your mother and daddies for everything that bothers you. Because if you don't, you're going to marry somebody like them. The things you don't like, or you're going to be like them. I shared this at a seminar once, and there was a little boy, and his daddy, I church disciplined him, and his daddy was running around with other women, and when I said you're going to become like who you judge, he got down on the pulpit and he was going, he was forgiving his daddy. So Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Otherwise, you're going to be tormented. You don't want to be tormented. It's no fun. Lord, in Jesus, I want to say this too. You know, I was at a teaching a seminar once, and a woman drug her husband forward, and he was mad and a hornet. And I said, they were having marriage problems, obviously. And I said to him, what is it you cannot stand about your wife? And those of you who are married, I want you to remember this. What is it I can't stand about my wife? And he said, she's controlling. And I said, well, was your mother or daddy controlling? He went, yeah, my mother. So then I asked her, I said, what is it you can't stand about your husband? And she said, well, he's a liar and he's irresponsible. And I said, well, was your daddy or mother liars and irresponsible? She said, yeah, my daddy was a liar and he was irresponsible. They walked off held in hands. You see, if you're married today, if something bothers you about your mate, ask the Lord, did my mother or daddy do this? Because, see, it's a mother-daddy issue because you're drawn together. The law of sowing and reaping puts you together. Because when a man marries a woman and a woman marries a man, they almost have some identical things that balance one another. So go in your prayer closet. No use trying to straighten them out. I tried. I wish I had known all this when I was married. I probably would have had a happier marriage. But it's hindsight. But go in your prayer closet and say, what is this about this situation that's reminding me of my daddy or my mother? And if it doesn't remind you of dad and mother, 99% of the time it will. Somehow it will relate. Or if you're not married and you go to work and your boss, I've had people say, my boss doesn't notice anything I do good. He shows favoritism. That tells me so did his mother and daddy show favoritism. Just ask the question, what comes out of their mouth, it goes back to mom and dad. That's why it's so important for children to have godly mothers and dads. And they're still going to make mistakes. I grieve over some of the mistakes I made, but my son said, oh, mom, you did the best you know how to do. You did the best you knew how. That's what my son that died said. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my mother and father for all these negative things that you've shown me. Forgive me, Lord, for judging them and not honoring them. Forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger, giving the enemy a foothold. Forgive me for believing a lie that you're just like my dad, just like my mom, that authority figures is just like my mom and dad. I can't trust them. They're not responsible. I forgive them that I had to be the daddy, I had to be the mother. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for bitterness. Forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. Forgive me for dishonoring my mother and father. Forgive me for expecting life to go the same way that it went when I was growing up. Lord, I break that expectation. Lord, I choose to forgive by an act of my will. Lord, I've been in a prison of unforgiveness. Lord, forgive me for speaking evil of my parents, for striking my parents, for cursing my parents. Lord, would you please forgive me for failing to take my resources to help my parents? Thank you that I don't have to be like them. I don't have to fellowship with them if they're evil. Lord, thank you, Lord, that I don't have to feel like it, but I choose to do it because I love you more than I love these demons of unforgiveness. Father, forgive me for enabling. God, forgive me for being a shameful and disgraceful son or daughter. Lord, would you please forgive me for robbing my father and my mother? Lord, would you please forgive me for mocking my father and scorning my mother and cursing my mother and father? Lord, would you please restore my sight? Forgive me for cursing my father and my mother that's causing my lamp to go out, causing blindness. God, forgive me for not having a pure heart. Forgive me for judging. Lord, would you please forgive me for letting these bitter root judgments settle down in my heart? God, in Jesus' name, I break these bitter root judgments. Lord, forgive me for bitterness. Forgive me for wrath and anger and clamor and slander. Forgive me for not being kind to others, tender-hearted, forgiving. Forgive me, Lord, for not letting my circumstances conform me into your image. That's the purpose of it. Forgive me for not letting what I go through work for my good, because I haven't allowed it to conform me to your image. God, in the name of Jesus, I just repent. I confess my sin. I pray you remind me in the future that when a circumstance comes up, to know that it's a mirror, it's mirroring something that you want to change in me. It makes it so much easier, Lord, for me to forgive when I see I did it too. In the name of Jesus, I come against bitterness, anger, wrath, sickness, disease. I come against chemical imbalance. I bind in the name of Jesus spirits that hinder our resistance, spirit of allergies, spirit of asthma. I command aching teeth to go. I command tight muscles. I command pain to go, bitterness, guilt. I command germs to die. I command hard facial features. I break the power of premature wrinkles. I break the power of frown lines. I break the power of sadness, mourning, moaning, groaning, mumbling, complaining. Get out. I break the power of every lie that God's like authority. I break the power of distrust, mistrust of authority. I break the power of every spirit of rebellion. I break the power of rebellion that thinks that it knows more than authority. I break the power of it. I break the power of depression, barrenness, fruitlessness. I break the curse of the law of jealousy that would cause my stomach to swell and thigh to waste away. The spirit of barrenness, heart problems, hardened heart. Go in Jesus' name. I break the power of acid reflux and indigestion. I break the power of blindness, cataracts, glaucoma, eye disease. I break the power of eye problems, blurred vision. I break your power. I break the power of the ravens of the valley that's plucked out our eyes. I break the power of floaters in Jesus' name. Lord, we take the logs out of our eyes so that we can see clearly. I break the power of depraved mind in the name of Jesus. I break the power of fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness. Get out in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Hurt, I command you to go. Rage, have to go. Violence, you have to go. Hostility, you have to go in the name of Jesus. I break the power of discouragement in the name of Jesus. I break the power of every lie that God is a liar. I break the power of every lie that God is like our daddies, like our mothers. I break the power of every spirit of fainting, giving up, quitting, bailing out, losing heart. In Jesus' name, I command you to go. Weariness, tiredness, weariness, heaviness, fatigue, go. Anger, antichrist, rebellion, go in Jesus' name. Leviathan, pride, arrogance, boastfulness, egotism, haughtiness, leave in Jesus' name. I break the power of Leviathan. I break the power of insolence, arrogance, rudeness. I command the spirit of Leviathan out of every person in this room. Get out now in Jesus' name. I break your power. Water spirits, you have to leave. Dagon, Poseidon, go. Nimrod, get out in Jesus' name. I break your power. I break the curse of death in Jesus' name. I command the spirit of death to go in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. All wounded spirits, Lord, would you come and heal every wound. Heal every sore place in Jesus' name. And Lord, if you would say with me, Lord, if you can pray this a minute. Lord, I take all my idols up the mountain. Everything that bothers me, everything that rains on my parade, and I say, Lord, and if it glorify you the most, let it keep on happening in Jesus' name. But Satan, you're bound in Jesus' name. And Lord, you said, whatever I ask in your name, you'll do it. And my, Lord, my request is that I glorify you. My family glorifies you. My loved ones glorify you. Lord, that is all I want, is for you to be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Bless you, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to give us a good night's sleep. Let it multiply it where we wake up refreshed. You said times of refreshment come in the presence of the Lord. And thank you that you're here tonight, Lord, that you've been here this whole weekend. Thank you for the words that have come forth. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.